This is Mark Stein. Welcome to the second of our special Sinatra Centennial series, The Song Is You.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start and then melt away. I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody of some enchanted land. Music is sweet, the words are true, the song is.
Frank Sinatra sang the best songs of the 20th century. Some were by the big names, the George Gershwins and Irving Berlins. Others were by fellows who aren't particularly well known, and sometimes one-hit wonders who happened to write one song that caught Frank's fancy. But in this series, we'll hear some of Sinatra's best performances and the stories of the songs that helped him shine, in the words of the songwriters who wrote them. For this second show, the song is Irving Caesar.
I said, no, it stinks. I'll write you a good lyric in the morning.
Anne Ronell.
Well, I love Frank Sinatra's record.
And Alan J. Lerner.
I said to my wife, I said, well, we can stop and pay for the petrol now.
The song is them, and the singer is Frank Sinatra.
Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you.
April 25th, 1947, Columbia Records in Hollywood. Frank Sinatra and Dinah Shore with orchestra arranged and conducted by Axel Staudel. The song is Vincent Heumann's and Irving Caesar.
I'm discontented with homes that are rented, so I have invented my own.
Darling, this place is a lover's oasis where life's weary chase is unknown.
Far from the cry of the city where flowers pretty caress the streams. Cozy to hide in, to live side by side in, don't let it abide in my dream.
A famous verse to a famous chorus.
Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you, and you for me alone.
Frank Sinatra recorded two songs by Irving Caesar, If I Forget You and Tea for Two. Irving was 90 when I first met him and seemed already to belong to a lost Tin Pan Alley past. To enter his offices at the Omni Park Central in Manhattan was like stepping back in time. The decades would fall away, and behind the door, Irving would be waiting to greet you, very dapper in a bow tie and candy-striped blazer. And then he would position himself in his Barker lounger, a kind of prototype lazy boy recliner. He'd light a cigar from his humidor and sing you his hits while rocking back and forth in the recliner. Between the singing, he'd regale you with tales of ancient show business, back when Beatrice Lilly and Gertrude Lawrence came to town in André Charlot's revue and made themselves the toast of Broadway. Irving is celebrated for writing the most successful dummy lyric of all time. In the days before cassette machines were invented, a dummy lyric was a set of often nonsensical words that a lyricist wrote to remind him of where the stresses and the rhymes fell in a tune, so that when the composer had gone home and the lyric guy was wrestling with the words, he could remember how the melody went. The tradition of dummy lyrics survived well into the rock and roll era. To take one example, the only Lennon and McCartney song Frank Sinatra ever recorded, "Yesterday All My Troubles Seemed So Far Away." Paul McCartney's dummy lyric for that was "Scrambled Eggs, Oh My Darling, How I Love Your Legs." But sometimes a dummy lyric winds up in the finished song, as Irving Caesar told me when discussing the most famous standard to come from his and Vincent Newman's Broadway smash of 1925, No, No, Nanette.
No, No, Nanette, has so many good songs. I Want to Be Happy, of course, is another one of yours. From
Of course. And too many rings around Rosie, never get Rosie a ring. And who's the who? Tell me, do tell me, honey, who is the, where is my hubby gone? They're all hit songs. But I'll tell you the story about Tifa, too. We were looking for some songs, and I had a little apartment. Your listeners will be interested in this because it concerns Beatrice Lilly and Gertie Lawrence. They had just come over with The Shadow of You, and they were ensconced beautifully in a little maisonette alongside the City Athletic Club on 54th Street. Their own house. It's very fine. And all the rich boys of the town would dance contention on them. And there were parties there twice a week. And Gertie would pass by my house. I lived down the street, and she'd whistle up for Vincent and me, where we'd be working, to come over to the party. And we'd entertain, you know. And I said to Vincent this evening, he was in my home at the piano, I said, I think I'll lie down for a little while. I want to be fresh for the party. I didn't remove my clothes. I just went to my room. He was at the piano, and I'd hardly dozed off when I felt him pulling at my trousers leg. I said, Seize. He never called me Irving, always Seize. He says, Calaro, I had a great theme. I said, well, make a lead sheet. You know, a lead sheet, a notation. He said, no, you got to hear it. I said, oh, Vincent, I want to be fresh for the party. So I was in my stockings, his shoes off, and he fairly dragged me to the piano. And all he had was, dee da 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 dee. That's all he had, you know. So I said, I'll try to write a dummy for you. I was sleepy. I said, I'll try to get a title for tomorrow. And he says, we'll see what you can do. So I said, no. I said, play it again. I made him play it about 10 times. Finally, I said, hey, half asleep. Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two, this way, just as I'm doing it now, and two for tea. He says, go on, it's great. I said, no, it stinks, I'll write you a good lyric in the morning. Me for you, no, it's, he said, it's great, and you for me alone. He says, no, it's great, finish it. I finished it, as though he always had no money in it. Right there. And we introduced it a half hour later, for Gertie and Bee's party.
And you still, I mean, 60 years later, do you still think the lyric stinks, or have you come
to... No, I think it's a great lyric.
Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two, and two for tea, just me for you, and you for me alone.
Nobody near us to see us or hear us, no friends or relations. On weekend vacations, we won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone, dear.
Day will break and you'll away and start to bake a sugar cake,
for me to take, for all the boys to see.
We will raise a family, a boy for you and a girl for me.
Can't you see how happy we will be? We will raise a family, a boy for you and a girl for me. Can't you see how happy we will be?
That's a very charming record, Sinatra, and a good friend he loved to sing with, Dinah Shore. May 29th, 1958, the Capitol Tower in Hollywood. Frank Sinatra, with orchestra conducted by Felix Slatkin, arranged by Nelson Riddle. The song is Anne Ronell. Anne Ronell isn't a famous songwriter. She wrote just two big hit songs. One was Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? This is the other one.
Willow, weep for me. Willow, weep for me. Bend your branches green along the stream that runs to sea. Listen to my plea. Listen, willow, and weep for me. Gone my lover's dream, lovely summer dream. Gone and left me here to weep my tears into the stream. Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me.
Oh, you gotta love that muted trumpet from Harry Sweets Edison. Don't get me wrong, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf is not to be disdained, especially by Walt Disney, because it was his company's very first hit song, long before When You Wish Upon a Star or Someday My Prince Will Come. But Willow, Weep for Me is in a whole other category, a very distinctive standard song, from the thrilling octave plunge of its first word through to a great brooding middle section. The songwriter who wrote both music and lyrics was Anne Ronell, and she was a lively, bubbly, elderly lady when I knew her. I marvel to think that she would be 109 years old now. Along with the famous Dorothy Fields of The Way You Look Tonight and Dana Suisse of The Night Is Young and You're So Beautiful and Mabel Wayne of It Happened in Monterey, she was one of a very select group of female writers in the Tin Pan Alley of that time. She went to college at Radcliffe, and there was a willow tree on the campus that caught her eye. And she remembered it many years later in 1932, although she was nowhere near it or any other arboreally inspiring sight at the time, as she told me a long, long time ago. Do please forgive a bit of background noise in this conversation. There were some carpenters attending to some repair work in the course of our chat. and other persons came by to inspect it. But I hope you'll find what she has to say of interest. I started by asking Anne Rennell about the circumstances in which she wrote Willow Weep for Me.
I know that I wrote it on the elevated train going down from the place I lived at that time down to the publishing office. And I scratched it out on a piece of paper. Of course, I always carried paper with me. And I completed it later, but I have no notion which came first. Really, I don't. You know, that's when you write both music and lyrics. Sometimes both of them come together. But I think the music in that part, in that one, must have come first.
And did you, I mean, is it often that you've been inspired on the elevator train?
No, not often. No, I wouldn't say that. I always worked hard in my living quarters, and I had to produce an awful lot of material to take to a publisher. You know, it was very hard to get in to see them, you know. And so if you were deterred by one encounter, you had to be ready for the next. And that is, if you ever succeeded in getting another one.
And how was it that it came to you? Particularly, I can understand if you're sitting on the elevator train, you look around you and you might write a very urban song, but Willow Weep for Me is not...
symbolic of the elevated, you mean? No. Well, that's the whole thing about being a writer. You never know, and you can't put anything together with a time or a mood. It's depending on so many mysterious factors, I haven't been able to figure it out.
Listen to my plea. Listen, willow, and weep for me.
I had come down to New York to earn a living. I was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and I had a hard time persuading my parents to let me come, of course, after college. But when I got a letter sent me by George Gershwin after, this is a long story. He had met me after college, and he wrote and said he hoped that I would come east. My father, who had played the Rhapsody in Blue and was very amazed that I would have known the writer, agreed then to let me go to New York.
Anne Rennell was to get to know the writer rather better. She stayed close to George Gershwin, and in fact, at the time she wrote this song, they were dating, which is why she dedicated the song to George.
Gone my lover's dream, lovely summer dream, gone and left me here to weep my tears into the stream. Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Whisper to the wind and say that love has sinned. Leave my heart a-breaking and making a moan. Murmur to the night to hide her so none will find me sighing and crying all alone. Weeping willow tree, weep in sympathy, bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. When the shadows fall, bend, O willow, and weep for me.
Beautiful lyrics, I think.
But
the things
Irving
I
Berlin
want.
Told me when I first met him, and that was during the time I went to Irving Berlin's office to project. I'd been there many times before, and nothing was ever taken. I never could see anybody. But after I wrote Baby's Birthday Party and Rain on the Roof, which were successful, then I felt I could go to Irving Berlin's office and try to get Willow Weep for Me looked at, you see, considered. And Mr. Bornstein, who was the head of the firm and listened to all the material, listened to the number, and he said, you'll have to change that. He said, you can't have that double time in the bass during the, you can't change the rhythm that way. Nobody will be able to play it. And I said, but that's the way I wrote it. I like it that way. And I said, I also want the a dedication to George Gershwin on the song. And he said, we don't have any dedications. We can't dedicate a song to any one person. Then nobody else will perform it if they're offended that you didn't. Well, I said, George Gershwin is a composer, not a singer. And he said, well, no, he said, well, I'll talk to Mr. Berlin. And that's how I met Mr. Berlin. He came in to hear the song, hear me play the song. And when I told him what I wanted, he said, yes, we'll do that. And he said, you come to see me from now on when you come into the office. So I used to go to see him, and he was the one who told me, he said, now look at Ann, you're the only one writing music and lyrics. He said, don't ever collaborate with anybody. He said, keep that identity for yourself.
Sinatra didn't sing Willow Weep for Me live terribly often, but here he is on stage in Australia, Melbourne, 1959, with Nelson Riddle's magnificent orchestration pared down for Red Norvo's quintet.
Willow weep for me, willow weep for me, bend your branches green along the stream that runs to sea. Listen to my plea, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Gone my lover's dream, lovely summer's dream, gone and left me here to weep my tears into the stream. Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Whisper to the wind, love has sinned, left my heart a-breakin', and making a moan. Murmur to the night to hide its starry light, so none will see me sighing and crying all alone. Weeping willow tree, weep in sympathy. Bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. When the shadows fall, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. When the shadows fall, hear me, willow, and weep for
people who've recorded the song. I wondered whether you had any particular favorites amongst the...
Willow Weep for Me has been done by so many people, I can't really, I should not want to offend anyone. I like them all. But, well, I love Frank Sinatra's record.
Sinatra with Felix Slatkin conducting from Nelson Riddle's dark masterpiece, Only the Lonely. January 1966, the Copa Room of the Sands Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Frank Sinatra with the Count Basie Orchestra, conducted by Quincy Jones, arranged by Billy Byers. The song is Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner.
Thank you. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. Pull out the stopper, we'll have a whopper. Get me to the church on time. I got to get there in the morning, dressed up and looking in my prime.
Girls, come and kiss me, say that you'll miss me, get me to the church on time. If I am dancing, roll up the floor. If I am whistling, right out the door. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding, 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 dong, they're gonna chime. Kick up a rumpus, don't lose your compass. Get me to the church, get me to the church. For Pete's sake, get me to the church on time. If I am dancing, roll up the floor. If I am whistling, right out the door. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding, ding, dong, they're gonna chime. Girls, come and kiss me, say that you'll miss me. Get me to the church, get me to the church. For Pete's sake, get me to the church on time. Ding dong, 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 ding.
Thank you. That's from the that's from the production Mary Poppins is a Junkie.
Wait a minute, that can't be right. Like to try that again?
For Pete's sake, get me to the church on time. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding. And that goddamn bell. That's Leonard Lowe from Fair Lady.
That's more like it. That performance is very Vegas, very bassy, very Sinatra. But it comes from a musical play set in Edwardian London, adapted from George Bernard Shaw. And the person who introduced that song to the world was the English music hall star Stanley Holloway. Lerner and Lowe were the toast of Broadway and then Hollywood in the late 40s and 50s. But for the most part, they steered clear of American subjects. They favoured mysterious Scottish villages in Brigadoon, Belle Époque Paris in Gigi, King Arthur's Court in Camelot. And many years ago, over tea at the home he shared with his eighth wife, just off the King's Road in Chelsea, London, I talked to Alan J. Lerner. This interview was never intended to be broadcast, so the quality is pretty appalling in places, but I hope you'll find what Alan has to say of interest. I asked him about the strange foreign operetta-like subjects that he and his composing partner, Frederick Lowe, had been so attracted to.
I'm not sure. I think one of the reasons that I ended up writing foreign subjects is because my composer was a foreigner.
Yes.
Frederick Lowe was Viennese-born, and even though he was Hebrew, he spent a major part of his life, he's still alive, of course, he spent a major part of his life in America. There was, in his phraseology of the idiom, of the musical idiom, something of the European style and flavor. Obviously, he could not have written a Cotton Club show,
yes.
You know, or done Harold Arlen. On the other hand, Harold Arlen couldn't dramatize an idiosyncrasy of character. The way Fritz could, who was a pure dramatic composer, who at the same time, being a dramatic composer, served the lyrics. I mean, he would never begin a song unless I gave him some of the lyric and told him what it was going to be about. And then he tried to capture that specific mood and was more than ready to make changes should I ever require them, which I very seldom did because I love this music so much.
So that's obviously, as you say, he couldn't have done a cop show, but on the other hand, the My Fair Lady and Gigi and Brigadoon wouldn't have sounded quite so easily if it had been Harold Arlen or one of the, or Richard Rodgers.
Well, Rodgers could probably do anything, had he wanted to.
I mean,
he wrote The King of Siam. Yes. You know, it was still Richard Rodgers.
Yes.
But Fritz, to me, was always Fritz, whether he was in Painter Waggett in The Old Country or in... there was a wistful tenderness to his melody besides a soaring quality.
Sinatra sang Lerna and Lowe songs for 40 years. Here's his first bite at the big hit from Brigadoon, arranged by Axel Stordahl in 1947.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
The only difference between his music and the music of some of the people we've been mentioning is that Fritz fundamentally did not have rhythm, he had tempo.
Yes.
His music didn't necessarily have the afterbeat of jazz. And yet it was modern.
Yeah.
Totally, because it survives.
Yeah.
His music survived.
Something like Every Night at Seven in Royal Wedding.
No.
He couldn't have done something like that.
No. But he could do without realizing, what a day this has been, what a rare... Which... has all the rhythm in it, but it also has the gift of an absolutely stunning melody.
Brigadoon Take Two, 1961, with Billy May.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when the bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. Almost like being in love. Just like being in love. All the music of life seems to be just like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when the bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like
it's interesting you mention that, because that's one of the songs, I don't keep the figures, but it certainly crops up on a lot of albums, like people like Victor Murray, Frank Sinatra, that kind of thing. When you hear those songs taken out of their dramatic context and swung a little, do you enjoy them as much? And
if anything more.
Really?
Mm.
could have danced all night, could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when she began to dance with me, I could have danced, 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 danced all night.
So I could have danced all night on that finger clicking and taking one or two liberties with the lyrics. I wonder whether you...
Well, I sometimes I must say I do. I don't resent it. That's the wrong word. You know, I just sort of say, oh, well, I wish he hadn't. But not with any passion. Because you struggle so hard not to have an and in there or an extra but. And then a singer will put it in, but Sinatra happened to be the greatest phraser of popular music that I know. And so he will allow it.
I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have danced a whole lot more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never, never, never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, but all at once my heart, it took flight. I only know when she began to dance with me, I could have done, I could have danced, could have danced, danced, danced all night.
Sinatra live in Paris in 1962 with a sextet-sized version of that Billy May arrangement of a Lerner and Lowe song. 3 years later, Alan J. Lerner wrote a Broadway score with the composer Burton Lane. Sinatra recorded the title song with Nelson Riddle and jazz organ in 1966.
Clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who, just who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star you feel part of. Shore, you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. And on a clear day, on that clear day, you can
see forever
Yeah, it was interesting because last year when I looked at the charts, my personal charts, I saw that I had one song that was played more last year than On the Street Where I Live.
Which was that?
On a Clear Day You Can See Forever.
Yeah. Do you know the figures as to which is your?
Yes,
time?
I do.
Which is it?
Oh, of all time? Yeah. No, I don't. But it's Fire Fair Lady, of course.
Yes, but I wondered whether there was on a Clear Day.
No, they
day,
keep changing. They change. I mean, when the revival of My Fair Lady was playing, everybody was much more apt to be playing My Fair Lady and could have danced all night and accustomed to her face. Mm-hmm. But the other songs of the play, probably now that Gigi's being revived, there'll be a revival of some of the songs from Gigi on the box and on the tube. Mm-hmm. But On a Clear Day, just all by itself, seems to be one of those songs that appears in a lot of constantly in albums, and the performances of it, well, I hear it at least four times a week when I'm driving in the car or something. Mm. One day we heard it three times. I said to my wife, I said, well, we can stop and pay for the petrol now. So.
And on that clear day, on that clear day you can see forever
and voice was Frank Sinatra, the song was Alan J. Lerner, Anne Ronell, and Irving Caesar. See you next time.
The music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you.